joining us now, our ESPN MLB insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm hanging in there, guys. Well, feels like we're getting down to it in terms of the baseball negotiations. So, guessing within a couple weeks, we'll know whether it's a go or not.
Well, where do we stand right now as we speak? What's the latest on that?
The latest that I heard was that the two sides had made progress in terms of just understanding their position when it comes to the health protocol, but that the money issue hadn't really been addressed, and that they were at loggerheads, you know, still entrenched and not altering their stance on that. That's the Mount Everest that they have to overcome to get this done.
It's happened so quickly, Buster. It seems like a week ago we were talking about the owners submitted their proposal. The players were going to look it over, maybe not accepted. I mean, it was a possibility at that time. Why is there such a lack of trust between these two sides?
Well, it's a complicated issue. As I've told you before, I feel like the relationship between the two sides is at its worst in about 25 years. Wow. Let's face it, 2016, when they negotiated the current CBA, the union got absolutely routed. Tony Clark chose to wait until last second to make a deal. A lot of mistakes were made. You hear that from people on both sides. And so what happened was is that the last few winters, you've seen owners, after making a lot of money, the free agent market has been depressed, and the players have been upset about that. And my own opinion is that, I feel like that on the union side, that sometimes the owner's management is blamed for this position when a lot of it comes down to decisions that the union leadership made in that negotiation. But no matter how we got here, that's where we are. You're right, the distrust is enormous.
You know, we heard last week the comments by Blake Snell. So I want to ask you, if we have to assign blame, are we thinking that the owners are the greedy side, the players are the greedy side? What are we thinking here, Buster?
I think that they greedy's. You know, everyone has their perspective. The players, you know, have their perspective. Here are the contracts, and here's what we should get. They feel like that. Look, when we have a good season, and there's more revenue than what's expected, it's not like the owners come back and say, here's some extra revenue for you guys. So they have their perspective, and they have their, you know, the long-standing principle against the salary cap. And on the other hand, it doesn't take a genius to see the owners aren't making money. Like, the sport is shut down. And yes, it's a catastrophic, once-in-our-lifetime situation that you've had this, so where you have legitimately teams that are hurting. Now, there may be some teams that aren't hurting as much as others, but I don't think there's any question, based on what I've heard, the Mets are hurting, the Miami Marlins are a disaster financially, some other teams are not doing well. So I think each team has their perspective. The bottom line is, Blake Snell making his comments last week, the outspokenness that we've seen from Scott Boras, the agent, Tony Clark, framing this as a financial issue, a financial fight between the two sides. And on the flip side, the owners constantly leaking out information that I personally think is designed to make the players look bad. I think that it's terrible for all of them that this is now the perception's going to be, if they don't play, it's going to be because they can't agree how to split their money. I don't think it's quite as simple as that. But that's where we are, in large part because of the decisions made by the players and the owners.
Buster, we read the story on ESPN.com from your colleague Jeff Passan about the safety protocols it would take to get baseball back on the field. I mean, it's certainly restrictive. It's certainly extensive. Is it one of those things where they put it all on paper, get it signed, and then lax it when the season starts? Or do you see baseball truly not allowing spitting on the field all year?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be spit police running out with a shield and, with a badge and a gun and the whole thing and enforcing that rule. When I read it, what I thought of was, this is a list that's put together by doctors who are doing their jobs and by lawyers who feel like they're doing their jobs. You know, covering every possibility. We've all signed those waivers without looking at the fine print. And somewhere in there it says that, well, if a Volkswagen drops out of the sky and hits your farm, you're not going to get paid off. I think there was some of that with the list. But There are certainly a lot of things in there that when the players first looked at them that were breathtaking in terms of their scope, but that's the reality they're walking into. And I've said this to you guys before, one of the, you know, the key issues is what's going to happen when it comes to legal liability, and how is that going to be addressed? Because there's a perception among a lot of agents I've spoken with that eventually, before they play, the owners would ask the players, require the players, as part of the CBA agreement, to waive any right to sue the owners if somebody gets sick at a ballpark.
Yeah, we didn't ask you because we have no answer on that one. So we have no idea what's going to happen at that point. But let me ask you this. If baseball's gone for the year, what is going to have the most harm to, like, the adult fans who are like, I'm never going back, I'm not spending another dime there, or like the 13-year-old kid who just loves it, or the 10-year-old kid, like the kids from the Sandlot, you know what I mean? Who does it hurt more?
All of the above. Look, I think it, you know, it would hurt baseball's effort to appeal to the younger audience because of the way that the two sides have now, through their actions, have framed this as a fight over money. They're going to be older fans, casual fans, who basically will swear off baseball the way that we saw in 1994, 95. And I got to tell you, if these two sides don't reach an agreement now, you know, at the moment, I feel like the players have some leverage because the owners need this, need to play more than the players need to play this season. And if in this moment of leverage, the players don't make a deal of some kind to come back, I think next year when the leverage pendulum swings the other way, it's going to be all-out war. Because, you know, let's face it, in recent years, Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, they have not worked well together. And there's a perception in the commissioner's office that, you know, that they have a difficult time working with Tony. They can't make deals with Tony. And if they were to not play baseball this year and do damage to the perception of the sport, I really believe that the owners next year would come after them when the current CBA runs out. And it would be much more ugly than even what we're seeing now.
Wow.
Buster, kind of a similar question to what Arnie just asked. I'll frame it differently. But, I mean, what's more detrimental to the growth of baseball, losing a major league season or losing minor leagues in your hometown and maybe your youth league season?
Oh, jeez.
I think it's the major league season just because it's the top down. Yeah. You know, and I just having through the years, you guys have too, you talk to people about, hey, what's your earliest baseball memory? And for me, you know, watching those Red Sox teams, the 75 World Series, you know, cheering on the Dodgers, you know, there are a lot of kids who, if there's no baseball this summer, that's opportunity won't be there for them. You know, they're going to be doing other things than watching baseball, and I think that hurts. And the other thing, too, is that I'm sure that a lot of them, their parents are going to go, hey, these guys couldn't figure it out, and whether they want to blame the owners or they want to blame the players, the perception, the strong perception is going to be that they couldn't figure out how to split a pile of money that's not accessible to other people in this country. That is incredibly destructive in my view.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on the Huddle every single Wednesday at 5, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. The governors of New York, California, Texas, they all said that sports can now prepare to come back this week. In California's case, they did a complete 180 on what they had said just a couple weeks ago. Does that have you any more optimistic that the governors are saying, hey, let's get ready here?
I'm more optimistic than I was last week because what I'm hearing from moderate agents, moderate players, is they think that eventually the two sides who are most at odds, you know, the two extremes of these negotiations, are that they'll eventually be forced to come together because that's how they're going to have the opportunity to make money this year. And that there is a, you know, some of the agents I've spoken with believe there's a silent majority among the players who are like, you know, enough, let's figure this out and let's get back to work and let's work through this. And their feeling is that view is going to prevail. My question has been, yes, but what's the mechanism by which that happens? And the people I've asked that question to have said, yeah, I don't know. And they're, whether it's a player like Andrew Miller, who's respected, or Chris Iannetta, the longtime catcher, is it Chris Young, the former player who's now a baseball executive? They need some voices, respected people respected on both sides, I think, to help forge a deal in order for something to happen. Because if the, you know, the, among the people have been negotiating in recent years, they I feel like that the anger is so harsh and the trench is so deep that unless you get some intermediaries that step in, it might be difficult.
Buster, we heard Chris Sale speak yesterday to your colleague Marley Rivera. We actually had her on the show earlier today. He was really open, something we haven't heard from him a lot lately. Do you know Sale well? I mean, how thoughtful is he usually?
Oh, he can be really thoughtful. You know, it just sort of depends on the day. I had a great conversation with him this spring. You know, he was talking about, you know, the birth of a child, and this was, you know, at the time, as you know, there was a you know, he had the pneumonia, and now he's wondered, okay, what was that exactly? He's really smart, he's really competitive, and he's very, you know, he's very circumspect, and he has a range of experience. So I've always enjoyed talking with Chris. Now, there are days when he sees you and he'll, you know, go in the other direction like the rest of us. You know, some of us, there's some days you feel like talking and some days you don't, and Chris is like a lot of people, he has some days he doesn't, but when he wants to talk or is willing to talk, he's very engaging.
Now, we've read a lot of stuff about the minor leagues, you know, things, and we obviously care greatly about that up here. I mean, and you look at the list of the checkoffs of to what would have to happen to keep the Lake Monsters around here, and you go, all right, maybe full season is our only chance. Is there anything you see with the Lake Monsters that might appeal to anyone as a full season entity?
Boy, and I haven't put a lot of thought into that. You know, in terms of I haven't had conversations at the team level. That, you know, one of my first questions right away, of course, is that you have to have proximity to other teams, and how right. will you know teams view that? You know, and whether it's in AA or AAA up in the Northeast, it would be because it, you know, just as being a Vermonter, it's. Let's face it, if you are, you know, with the Nashville Sounds, then getting to Burlington is not as easy as it is to some other places. Yep. That would be my first question, is whether or not teams view it as having proximity, and then there's, of course, the question about Centennial Field that pops up.
Buster, we put you on the spot with that one. Maybe not fair. I guess the thing we've really wondered about is simply the weather. I mean, is it viable for a team to send their bonus baby pitcher to come play in 28-degree and snow weather through April? I think that's the thing that worries us the most about possibly having to be full season.
Yeah, I don't think that's as much of an issue, because you'll see teams, especially with pitchers, they'll assign them because they have a range of affiliate options. If they want to make sure that a you know particular prospect is in warm weather, then they'll make that happen. I really do think a lot of it is the quality of the field and the proximity to other teams. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as you guys know, travel in the minor leagues generally is pretty tough. And with AAA teams, it's a little bit more streamlined. You know, AA teams, still, it's a lot of bus travel. Mm-hmm. And that would be my first question. You know, how easily can a team get from one place to another vis-a-vis the other affiliates? But I have not looked into it that deeply. I'm sure that, you know, as they were making their case, that would be things that they would address.
Absolutely. He's Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. And by the way, Buster, if the A's, they didn't pay their rent. If they don't pay their rent, do we evict them? Do they not get to play? Do we play without the A's? They missed their April rent. I'd assume they didn't pay May either. You get evicted for stuff like that in the real world.
Well, there's a lot of real world stuff going on here. You know, you hear about teams having really serious difficulty when it comes to cash. Yeah. You know, having lost you know so much revenue with fans not being at the ballpark, and some teams are better suited than others, for sure. But then Oakland is one of those teams. You've heard that it's a really difficult time.
Yeah.
And I do think we gotta you know prepare for the possibility, if in fact they do come up with a deal and baseball does come back, that there will be a flurry of moves just as they get started, and there will be absolute stock dumping going on. And so the teams that we talk about, well, you know, we like this group. We think the you know the Rays are really good, or we think the Yankees are good, or you know the Cubs and where they stand, or the Cardinals, whatever it is.
Yeah,
there are going to be rosters changing as soon as baseball restarts.